This is All Things Considered special election coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Linda Wertheimer in Manchester, New Hampshire.
And I'm Robert Siegel in Washington, D.C. Patrick Buchanan has won the New Hampshire primary. With 81% of the precincts reporting, he has won 27% of the vote. Senator Robert Dole has 26% of the vote, and former Tennessee Governor Lamar Alexander has 23%. Publisher Steve Forbes came in fourth with 12% of the vote. As the returns have been coming in tonight, all of the leading candidates have been speaking to their supporters. We'll hear excerpts from their speeches now, beginning with Patrick Buchanan, who spoke in Manchester earlier this evening.
We have won a tremendous victory here tonight. But we no longer have the element of surprise. We had it in Alaska and Louisiana, but we no longer got the element of surprise. All the forces of the old order are going to rally against us. The establishment is coming together. You can hear them right now. The fax machines and the phones are buzzing in Washington, D.C. But you got to get together. Somebody's got to get out and take on this guy. We've got to have one guy take him on. But I'll tell you what, we don't have time. We need the troops. But I'm telling you this. You need the troops, but I'm telling the folks out in the country, they're going to come after this campaign with everything they got. Do not wait for orders from headquarters. Mount up, everybody, and ride to the sound of the guns. Thank you. Listen, my friends, I didn't think there would ever be a night. I didn't think I would ever have a night in American politics like that incredible night in 1992 when we met King George's army all along the Nashville-Manchester-Concord line. I didn't think it would ever be like that again. I thought it was the high water mark of the cause I believed in. But we got a higher water mark, friends, and I'm serious. We got to buckle down and we got to move forward. We got to move forward with strength and courage and conviction and take what they're going to deliver to us. We know what they're going to do to us. They're coming at us every way. But you stay with me, say your prayers about this cause and campaign. I promise you, I will lead as long as I can and as hard as I can and as far as I can until we drop the torch and someone else picks it up. Thank you all and God bless you.
Patrick Buchanan. The references to King George, by the way, were references to President George Bush, whom Buchanan challenged for the nomination in 1992 in New Hampshire, and he lost. He was speaking to his supporters tonight in Manchester, New Hampshire, after he won.
Senate Majority Leader Robert Dole had long been considered the front runner in this race, and he appears to have come in a close second with 26% of the vote. Here's some of what Senator Dole said to his supporters in Manchester tonight.
Now I know why they call this a granite state. Because it's so hard to crack. And I might add, that's why I love New Hampshire. This state's a top state. Now, we don't know the final outcome of the race yet. But one thing I do know is that it's a two-man race. It's a two-man race from now on. It's going to be a one-man race before long, but right now it's a two-man race. And we know that we're now engaged in a fight for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. That's what this race is going to be about tomorrow. And in the next month, we will decide if we are the party of fear or of hope, if we are a party that keeps people out or brings people in, and if we are angry about the present or optimistic about the future. That's going to be the debate the next 30 days, the next 26 primaries, the next 30 days. And I want to send this message to Republicans all over America. Yes, and independents too, and yes, like-minded Democrats. If you believe in economic growth, you have a home in the Dole campaign. If you believe we must return as a nation to the family values that made us strong, you have a home in the Dole campaign. And if you believe we should put the parents back in charge of our schools, untie the hands of our police, and appoint tough judges to our courts, then you have a home in the Dole campaign. That's what it's all about.
Senator Robert Dole speaking tonight at his campaign headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Senator Dole ran second in the New Hampshire primary behind Pat Buchanan. The man who came in third tonight was former Tennessee Governor Lamar Alexander.
I believe that Senator Dole now, after Iowa and after his showing tonight, has shown that he does not have enough ideas to base a campaign about the future. So the debate will be between my ideas, fresh conservative ideas, to build a picture of this future, to beat Bill Clinton, and Pat Buchanan's ideas. I look forward to that contest. Pat is my friend.
I will have more to say about those ideas, but as long as we're going to have an idea contest, let's have a couple of Republicans in the contest who have ideas. We have fresh conservative ideas. Let's put them up against Mr. Buchanan's ideas. Let's do it in a respectful way, and let's go across this country for the future. I have one more thing to say. I believe if we could have lowered the voting age, we would have even won the New Hampshire primary. But this is only the first primary, and there are many more to come. And what I think America can learn from the young people of New Hampshire and the young people of Iowa, who have overwhelmingly supported our campaign, is this. There is only one issue. What kind of future will we have in this country? We can build a conservative vision of that future. And the message that you're sending tonight from New Hampshire all the way across this country is that the way to build that future is to remember your ABCs. Alexander East. Thank you.
Former Tennessee Governor Lamar Alexander speaking tonight to his supporters at his campaign headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire. He finished third. Andrew Cohut, I'd like you to explain something that Lamar Alexander said. He said that if the voting age could be lower, he would have won. Well, is he referring to his appeal with younger voters?
Well, he did relatively well. 29% of younger voters said they voted for Alexander. A statistical tie with Buchanan at 30%, and only 18% of them voted for Dole. Dole, of course, did very well among 65 and olders, as he did in Iowa, but not very well among people who were under 65 years of age. And Buchanan tended to do well among middle-aged Reagan-era Republicans, a little better than the other two candidates, where, of course, there are more voters.
Linda Wertheimer, what do you think happens next?
Well, I'm interested in all of these candidates sending the messages clear across the country, as Governor Lamar Alexander just said, rallying their troops and trying to get ready for what is going to be an ordeal ahead. 26 primaries in 30 days, and I think we're going to have a very action-packed, fun-filled few weeks here.
Linda, is it still as clear to you as it was a while ago that we'd have a nominee very early on in this process because of how densely packed it is?
I think there's almost no other way for it to happen. I mean, I can't imagine that they go right down to the primary, right through all the primaries, one third, one third, one third. I suppose it's statistically possible that it could happen, but it seems to me that somewhere along the way, cooler heads will prevail and the Republican Party will decide that it needs a nominee, some nominee somewhere.
Linda, thank you. It's NPR's Linda Wertheimer in Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm Robert Siegel in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to special election night coverage of the returns from the New Hampshire primary won by Pat Buchanan on All Things Considered.
This is All Things Considered special election coverage, the New Hampshire primary. I'm Linda Wertheimer in Manchester, New Hampshire.
And I'm Robert Siegel in Washington, D.C. Patrick Buchanan has won the New Hampshire primary. With 86% of the precincts reporting, the conservative commentator has received 27% of the vote, leading Senator Robert Dole, who got 26%. Former Tennessee Governor Lamar Alexander came in third with 23% of the vote. With Buchanan's strong showing in New Hampshire, attention will be sure to focus on the positions he's taken and the things he has said throughout his career as a White House speechwriter, a columnist, and a television talk show host. NPR's Brian Naylor has this report on Buchanan and his message.
Pat Buchanan calls his beliefs conservatism of the heart. They include positions that many conservative Republicans share against abortion and gay rights and for restoring prayer to the schools and moral leadership in government. But this conservatism of the heart also shares some positions more commonly associated with Democrats and labor unions.
This is a campaign that's going to stand up for the working men and women of this country whose jobs are threatened by unfair trade deals done for the benefit of huge corporations anxious to shut down their American factories, fire their American workers, and send the jobs and plants overseas.
Buchanan hopes to strike a chord with voters who read daily reports of plant closings, jobs moving overseas, and who say while they're working, their wages haven't kept up with prices. While it may not be a message voters are used to hearing from Republicans, there is a tradition in the Republican Party on which Buchanan is drawing. John Green is a professor of political science at the University of Akron.
I think Pat Buchanan looks a lot of what used to be called a movement conservative, a term that was used to describe Barry Goldwater back in the late 50s and early 60s, and then to describe Ronald Reagan during his rise to power. These people are very nationalistic. They're very concerned with maintaining order, with strong moral values, ferociously capitalistic in other respects, but suspicious of foreign involvements and oftentimes opposed to free trade.
Buchanan says there will be no more NAFTAs, no more GATS if he's elected, referring to the two major trade agreements signed by President Clinton with strong bipartisan support, including the backing of former Republican presidents. Buchanan would also impose stiff tariffs on foreign imports. Such protectionist views are anathema to many Republicans for whom free trade is a core value. Conservative writer and commentator David Frum is one such critic.
This is a man who is moving toward an economics that rejects the free market. The commitment to the free market has been one of the central ideas of contemporary American conservatism, and a man who rejects it, I'm not sure, is entitled to the title of a conservative.
Many leading economists dispute Buchanan's premise that the country is losing jobs because American companies are finding it cheaper to produce overseas. While there have been such losses, most experts say free trade has created as many jobs through expanded opportunities for American exports as have been lost. Stanford University economist Paul Krugman says Buchanan's protectionism is a misdiagnosis.
There is nobody who I think you would have to work very, very hard. You'd have to scour the country to find a single PhD economist who would support Pat Buchanan's position on trade. It's a mile outside the ballpark of respectable opinion on this thing.
But it nonetheless rings true with many voters, especially those on the low end of the economic scale, who feel least in control of their circumstances and who presumably are the most worried about losing their jobs. Polls taken of voters in last week's Iowa caucuses show Buchanan got more support from voters earning under $30,000 a year than any other candidate. He also received the backing of 42% of the voters in Iowa who considered themselves part of the religious right. He has clearly energized anti-abortion rights activists.
If I'm nominated, I will choose a pro-life Republican running mate. I will appoint justices who will overturn Roe v. Wade, and I will be the most pro-life president in the history of the United States of America, bar none.
This is the other part of Buchanan's message, that he is the purest social conservative in the race. It's a position he staked out for himself in the highly charged speech he gave to the GOP convention in 1992.
There is a religious war going on in this country. It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself, for this war is for the soul of America. And in that struggle for the soul of America, Clinton and Clinton are on the other side, and George Bush is on our side.
Some observers have said that speech may have cost Bush re-election 4 years ago by painting the Republican Party as intolerant and extreme. Last month, in a speech to conservative religious activists in Memphis, Buchanan was unrepentant.
That's one artillery shell we put right down the smokestack. And what we said was, there's a cultural war going on in this country for the soul of America. And the front line in that cultural war, the public schools of America. Look what's happening in those public schools, my friend. We've seen Christmas go out
and UN Day comes in. We've seen Easter go out and Earth Day come in, when we can all go out and worship dirt.
Buchanan has made a successful and lucrative career out of being pugnacious and controversial. A true Washington insider, Buchanan was born and raised in the Capitol. He wrote speeches for Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and has been a columnist and TV pundit. His columns have provided a ready source of ammunition for his political opponents. One Bob Dole ad that has run in New Hampshire quotes Buchanan as saying women are simply not endowed by nature with the measure of single-minded ambition and the will to succeed. George Bush used the same comment from a 1983 column 4 years ago in an ad. Campaign manager Bay Buchanan told the Washington Post her brother admits the comment was a mistake. For 4 years, Pat Buchanan was paired with journalist Michael Kinsley on the CNN program Crossfire. Kinsley says he understands Buchanan's appeal.
Pat is there with these views, which are completely wrong in my view, but he's out there saying what he really believes. And that makes him by far the most effective stump speaker of the whole group.
The success Buchanan has had with his brand of conservatism has not gone unnoticed by the other Republican presidential contenders. Bob Dole has begun talking about how not only are corporate profits setting records, but so too are corporate layoffs. He's already attacked Hollywood over the moral values of its movies. That delights Buchanan, who likes to crow that the Republican Party has become the Buchanan Party. This is Brian Naylor in Washington.
4 out of 10 New Hampshire voters surveyed as they left the polls today said they learned about the candidate they voted for, mainly from television. Nearly two-thirds of those surveyed said they thought the candidate's TV ads were mostly negative. But not all the negative campaigning was on television. A story in today's Wall Street Journal is headlined, GOP contenders declare open season on each other in New Hampshire. It's written by James M. Perry, who has covered the New Hampshire primaries for 32 years. Jim Perry begins his piece today by using a metaphor of a firing line, lock and load.
It's the nastiest I've ever seen and in all these years. I mean, the closest probably was 64 with Rockefeller and Goldwater going after each other. But this is fierce. I mean, it's miserable for the Republicans. They must be just dying out there.
What do you think is so particularly miserable and fierce about it?
Well, it's the way they speak of each other. It's the contempt. I mean, there's this raw contempt people show for each other. This is the party of the 11th commandment, you know. Thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. Well, they got a new one, I guess, that thou shalt not speak well of one. It's mean.
That's one of the things that has interested me about this campaign, is that the voters themselves seem to be reacting to the negativity. They seem to be feeling that there is a lot about these candidates that they don't like, and one is the fact that they have been so nasty.
Yeah. I hope that's true. I hope so. But, you know, the record, the course record on it, it's not terribly encouraging. People do react. I mean, you could see in New Hampshire just in this last week, if in these tracking polls, that the attacks on Alexander began to raise his negatives. The attacks on Buchanan, which his negative ratings have been going down, the attacks begin, then ratings go back up again. And the voters can complain that this is terrible stuff, but at the same time, they and subconsciously, maybe unconsciously, whatever, they react to this this sort of campaigning, and they have no way. Because of this huge blizzard of information they received, it just comes from everywhere, and it's very difficult to sort it out. I mean, we did a focus group with Peter Hart in Derry the other night, and they couldn't differentiate between Geraldo and Tom Brokaw. I mean, to them it was the same credibility, you know, for each of those people, and newspapers are just part of the mixture. New people just part of the mixture. So it's become very difficult for voters to get any, you know, anybody that they can trust to guide them to what the truth may be.
You note in your piece in the Wall Street Journal today that that this is a fabulous Republican year. This is the year that that Republicans nominate a president to run with the Republican Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a terrific year for them. It, are they messing this up, you think?
They sure are. You know, it must be. If you were on board and hoping that finally the Republican Party is going to become the majority party in America with the setting the agenda, with pushing the country forward to its own views, this is a disaster. This is a tragedy because it's all going off the mark. The Republicans are engaging within their own party in a class war. This party's never supposed to do this. This is supposed to be the party that represents business and small business and Main Street and the new technological revolution. This isn't supposed to be a party that talks about peasants storming castle walls. There's no one in this race that represents where the Republican Party wants to be going. I mean, Steve Forbes maybe a little bit, but Phil Graham, the only voice that this wing of the party, this congressional wing, really had, fared very poorly, and he's out of the race. So here the great revolution is occurring, you know, and it's been very carefully and very cleverly done, but there's no candidate. I mean, they're stuck with the revolution without a general. I mean, it's not what they wanted.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jim Perry writes about politics for the Wall Street Journal.
Buchanan's victory in the New Hampshire primary just ahead on All Things Considered's special election coverage.
This is All Things Considered special election coverage. I'm Linda Wertheimer in Manchester, New Hampshire.
And I'm Robert Siegel in Washington, D.C. Conservative commentator Patrick Buchanan has won the New Hampshire primary. With 88% of the precincts reporting, Buchanan has received 27% of the vote. Senator Bob Dole has come in second with 26% of the vote, followed by former Tennessee Governor Lamar Alexander with 23%. Steve Forbes, the publisher, came in fourth at 12%, and he was followed by Senator Richard Lugar, who had 5% of the vote. Talk show host Alan Keyes won 3%, businessman Maury Taylor got 1%, and Congressman Robert Dornan of California got less than 1%.
We're joined by NPR political correspondent Elizabeth Arnold, who is at our headquarters here in Manchester, New Hampshire, where our program is originating, and in our Washington studio by Andrew Coad, who is director of the Pew Center for the People and the Press. Welcome to both of you. Welcome back to both of you. And Elizabeth, you've been at Buchanan headquarters until you just got back a few minutes ago, but that place was jumping. Who was in that crowd?
Well, and the fire marshals actually shut it down, so there were people outside still trying to get in, but they couldn't fit in the room. The people in the crowd were a cross-section, Linda. You had gun owners with National Rifle Association caps on and plaid shirts, and you had some party people from Massachusetts, so you did have some party people there. Religious conservatives who told me that the one and only thing they cared about was abortion, women with 6 and 7 children tagging along behind them. You had Reagan Democrats, working class people who described themselves as independents. They all talked about Buchanan as a man of the people, somebody who consistently voiced their concerns. And although he said in his speech that people voted their hopes, not their fears, he did play into these people's fears because the worst fears of these folks were about their own economic standing.
Dole supporters have to find this devastating. It was very close, less than a point, just a few thousand votes. But still, Senator Dole did not win.
No, he didn't win, but it sounded like he's in it for the duration, Linda. And he did manage to stave off a third place. I mean, he did manage to keep Lamar Alexander at a distance, which was, I mean, he could have come in third place and would have been devastated.
It's an interesting sort of political situation because Senator Dole did some very negative campaigning toward the end against Lamar Alexander. He was obviously trying to knock Lamar Alexander down a few points. And in so doing, he may actually have hurt himself without materially injuring Alexander, except, of course, to save himself from the possibility of a third-place finish.
Exactly. He was sort of damned if he didn't, damned if he didn't, because he had to keep Alexander away from him, so he went after Alexander. But while the two of them were tussling with one another, Buchanan managed to capture this whole other side, and Buchanan actually took the high road. I mean, he really was the one that didn't have any negative ads on at all.
Andy Kohut, what do you think about the about conservatism of the heart as a themed a banner to carry into the rest of the primaries?
Well, I think that Pat Buchanan has gotten a good victory out of a libertarian conservative state. When he moves south, where there are more social conservatives, he can expect to continue to do very well, particularly if Alexander and Buchanan beat each other up as the alternatives to Buchanan.
Alexander and Dole.
Alexander and Dole. And I think the biggest issue that's going to emerge here is not going to be a substantive issue. It's going to be electability. And most Republicans in New Hampshire said that Alexander can't beat Clinton and Buchanan can't beat Clinton and Dole can't beat Clinton, but especially Buchanan. And I think that's going to be what this race will very much be about over the next few weeks.
Well, where is there a state, as we look ahead to further primaries, where is there a state where you can honestly say that there isn't an outsized Christian conservative movement as in Iowa or a strong libertarian tradition in New Hampshire, where in theory at least the Dole campaign or the Alexander campaign should do much better than Buchanan? Where will we see that in a Republican vote?
Well, I don't think we will, because the moderates and the centrists are dividing up the vote in two or three different ways, and those hardcore committed Buchanan supporters are going to stick with him. In fact, they're not going to stick with him. He's going to gain support. And he's going to give these other two fits, as he did tonight.
When you're describing a candidate, Pat Buchanan,
mm-hmm.
who's much stronger in a big field than if it ever gets down to a one-on-one race against another candidate. This is why Senator Dole, in his speech tonight, talked about a two-person race, because in that race he does pretty well. What do you think?
Well, do you think he convinced Alexander to drop out?
It didn't sound like it, because Alexander said it's a two-person race between himself and Buchanan. That's right. If we just think back on what happened tonight, how the different candidates characterized this result, Dole said it shows it's a two-man race between himself and Buchanan. And Alexander said it shows that Bob Dole doesn't have any ideas to carry forward to run against Bill Clinton. So at least two of them, that is Buchanan and Alexander, agree that Bob Dole lost this primary.
Let's see what we think about, Elizabeth, what do you think about the possibility of the ideas coming out of this race, the issues that candidates learn to face in New Hampshire? Are we going to see some of these same kinds of issues? I mean, has the aim of the candidates for the voters changed in any way by their experience with the voters in New Hampshire?
Oh, I think so. I mean, we had Senator Dole inadvertently saying just the other day to these workers that he had no idea trade and jobs were going to be the centerpiece of this election. And tonight, Buchanan heads to South Carolina, where his particular brand of economic nationalism should play very well. And Dole is going to have to address those same fears. He's going to have to talk to these people about the fact that their paycheck doesn't go as far as it used to. And Buchanan has got the rest of the field talking about those things. I think Alexander's going to have to start touching on some of those themes as well.
I would look for Alexander as well to get some very close scrutiny in the next few weeks, because he is the candidate about whom we know the least, apart from his great-looking plaid shirts. We haven't really examined too much about what Alexander's been talking about.
I believe Buchanan will also get a second look, and that's what he was doing in his speech when he was telling his troops that they no longer have the element of surprise, that they are going to be a target, and I think Buchanan will be a real target. I mean, I think we we just saw the very beginnings of what Senator Dole has up his sleeve in terms of putting on the air about Patrick Buchanan and his views that are antithetical to the party orthodoxy.
Thanks very much, Elizabeth Arnold, who is here with me in Manchester, New Hampshire. Robert?
And thanks also to Andy Cohart, who is here with me in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, Andy.
You're welcome.
Once again, the result is a Pat Buchanan victory in the New Hampshire primary. He's run just 1 point ahead of Senator Bob Dole, with Lamar Alexander in third. Our director for this evening is Bob Boylan. The editors are Jonathan Kern and Beth Donovan in Washington, D.C., and Pam Fessler in New Hampshire.
The technical director is Rich Rary. Audio engineers are Michael Schreppe and Drew Reynolds.
The production staff includes Julia Redpath, Jeff Rogers, Laura Larson, John Ogulnick, Ken Barkas, Susan Stone, Eugene Chaw, and Cindy Johnston.
In New Hampshire, producers Art Silverman and Jonathan Baer, engineers Linda Mack, Norb Gallery, and Sean Fox. Help also from Jeff Rosenberg, Mary Kruger, member station WEVO in Concord, and WBUR in Boston.
The managing editor is Bruce Drake.
I'm Linda Wertheimer in Manchester.
I'm Robert Siegel in Washington. It's All Things Considered.